I say, this is rather interesting, Reginald. Did you know there were some unusual uses for mummies? Yes, from 3000 BC to AD 500, the ancient Egyptians mummified literally millions of bodies. Tombs and caves were so packed with them that many bodies were just taken to the desert and buried in the sand. Because of the dry climate, virtually everybody was preserved, whether it was embalmed or not. Amazing, isn't it? Hundreds of thousands of mummies were lost underwater when the Aswan Dam was built. Mummies were once so plentiful they were sold by the ton or by the graveyard. And it was not only people. They also mummified all sorts of animals, from cows and crocodiles to scorpions and insects. Certain cities were devoted to specific animals. So when an Egyptian cat died, well, it might be brought to one of the cities devoted to cats, where it would be prepared for the afterworld. In 1888, an estimated 300,000 mummified cats were found in Beni Hassan. They were promptly scooped up with tractors and sold for the price of $18.43 per ton, or about 3.5 pounds per ton, and shipped to England, where they were ground up as fertilizer. Cat mummies weren't alone in receiving such irreverent treatment. Of the multitude of humans who were embalmed and mummified, only a minute fraction of them survive in museums. In the late 19th century, millions of human mummies were used as fuel for locomotives. In Egypt, where wood and coal were scarce and mummies were plentiful. Forsooth, this is truth. When Mark Twain saw this on his trip through Egypt, he claims he heard an engineer call out, "Damn these plebeians, they don't burn worth a cent. Pass out a king." The Egyptians also used them as fertilizer, and even to thatch the roofs of their houses. The wood from the coffins was used by poor Egyptians as firewood to cook on. Some Italian homes were even paneled with such coffin wood. Renaissance painters sometimes mixed mummy powder into their paints, believing it would help keep their colors bright. And then, during the 1860s, American and Canadian companies bought shiploads of mummies to use their linen wrappings to make wrapping paper. Production was halted after a cholera epidemic was traced to the paper. These weren't the only innovative uses these preserved corpses were put to. Beginning in around 1100, mummies were in great demand as a type of medicine throughout Europe and the Middle East. At first, it was the resin sealing the mummies that was used. One Arab doctor wrote that it was sold for a trifle. I purchased 3 heads filled with the substance. Eventually, the mummies themselves were ground up for medicine. Where any difficulties arise from procuring bitumen, explained a Cairo doctor, corpses may be substituted in their stead. By the 15th century, the citizens of Cairo were boiling mummies in water and scooping off the oil that floated on the top to sell to the French for perfume. Well, I'm sure that added tremendously to the value of such things. Given the age and all, well, wait. Some mummy powder was just a phony mix of pitch and herbs. That was probably the safest, since it hadn't been near a dead body. The worst type was from unscrupulous suppliers who dried out the bodies of beggars, criminals, and those who died from diseases for sale as genuine mummies. Oh, tacky, tacky, tacky. What a shame greed doth breed such vile behavior. In the 17th century, the European medical community insisted Egyptian mummy powder was just the thing to cure a wide variety of ailments. Since it was supposed to stop bleeding, mummy cream was rubbed into wounds. It was also thought to be good for numerous internal ailments, so doctors had their suffering patients mix mummy powder into their food or tea. It was prescribed for bruises, fractures, paralysis, migraines, epilepsy, coughs, nausea, disorders of the liver and spleen, and cases of poisoning. And if you didn't have any of those, after the mummy powder, you probably did. I would say your worst fears have come true with such medication as in that brew, wouldn't you? Oh, I made a rhyme. Throughout Europe, people kept it on hand and would take it as we take aspirin today. Well, do you know aspirin was originally made from willow bark? Gave you the farts, did you know? Well, that's truth, too, forsooth. In 17th century Scotland, a pound of mummy could be bought for 8 shillings. During the 1970s, even an ounce could be bought in New York City occult shops for $40. Still, 1970. Mummy powder still available. All ones from the dried corpses, not really mummies, but you know the story there. Eventually, doctors began to suspect mummy powder was not quite as effective as everyone thought. 17th century French surgeon Ambrose Pare wrote that, "Not only does this wretched drug do no good to the sick, it causes them great pain in their stomachs, giving them evil-smelling breath." Breath of the dead, I would imagine, and brings on serious vomiting, which is more likely to stir up the blood and worsen hemorrhaging than stop it, I bet. It would not stop after that. He insisted the only thing mummies were good for was as fishing bait. That story is from a thing called Weird History 101 by John Richard Stephens. However, anyway, supposed to be well-researched truth, and the tag says, "If only this had been your history class textbook, you probably would have paid a lot more attention to history." That's the end of this story. Tom Wilkins, storyteller of sooth. That's truth. Ta-ta.